You know, we haven't been on the air for like...
It's only been a couple weeks.
2 weeks, man.
And I know it's a long time.
It's been a long time. And it's because we have been putting out fires.
Man, it's a lot.
A lot of fires. And just imagine if someone's house was on fire and you were watering your lawn.
Right.
That would be inconsiderate.
Yeah.
So we try to come from a place of being very hot, honest, open, and transparent. So my mother always said, if you don't have anything good to say, say nothing at all.
So we had to take a little bit of a break.
So we needed some time out.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, just because, well, we may talk a little bit about that.
No, we're going to talk about it.
But we're back.
We're back, y'all. And we missed you.
Yeah, it was great to be off a little bit, but also it's always fun to do this.
We were off because we were putting out fire, so that wasn't fun.
Yeah, right. But we're going to be talking about some excerpts from the recently released book.
Yes.
Our book, The Rich Relationship, Our Marital Code to Oneness, with the 17 other amazing authors that we have. And we decided that we are going to be doing kind of like a little bit of preview.
Like a book club.
Well,
it's like our own personal book club,
I guess
guys.
You could say that. Because we're going to actually just be sharing with you guys some of the things that we're talking about in the book. We ain't going to tell you everything because we want you to get the book.
Yeah, you need to get the book.
But
need to get the book.
But we're going to be telling you some of the things that are important in the book. That is enough to just kind of hopefully pique your interest, but also give you something to look forward to.
Yes, we want to tease you all.
And today we're going to be talking about the code.
The code. And the code is something that Gil and I wrote, something that God gave us after 15 years of working with couples and 31 years of being a couple, a happily married couple.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to talk about the code today. So stay tuned and buckle up.
It's the first topic of the code.
Yes, the first topic, because we're going to break it down into 3 bite-sized pieces because it is pretty intense.
But we're going to share that with you.
Yes, little by little, episode 70. Welcome, guys.
Welcome to the Rich Relationship Podcast with Gil.
And Renee, where amazing things happen. Our goal is to help build, repair, and restore healthy relationships.
Our primary focus is on the marriage relationship. However, the topics are applicable to the relationships that we value most. Remember, we're stronger together.
Let's grow.
So we are actually back and we're going to be talking about, we kind of introed it a little bit, but you're a little bit excited today.
I am elated.
Okay, why don't you tell everybody why you're elated first before we get into the topic?
So many reasons. Well, one of the reasons is that God is good. He loves us. He has a purpose for our plan, our purpose for our life. And just experiencing this election, Gil was just enamored with me. You know, you never know who your wife or your husband is going to become.
She turned into a poli-sci nerd now.
But it was just very educational and I learned a lot. And one of the things that the Lord really spoke to my heart is that America has got to stop being black and white, red and blue. And we have got to be defined by the way we show people our love for God, ourselves, and one another.
Absolutely.
Because the Bible says they will know you by your love one for another. Has nothing to do with parties or colors or race. Has everything to do with the way we love. And so I'm just encouraged to see a new day of things being put on display, like empathy and character and prizing other people. That's what the day we need to be living in. And that's what the Rich Relationship Project is all about, is helping people to build, repair, and restore rich relationships.
And so this is a relationship of our country.
Yes.
And so the actual topic you were talking about, the recently newly elected.
Yes. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We're really excited about that, just to see a new day of change and to be able to live in a country where you get to see a woman of color be the vice president as a 52-year-old woman. I have to say I am very proud to be a woman, a believer, a woman, and a woman of color. So that's very, very encouraging. And also, we finally got the books back, right? Hallelujah.
We talked a little bit about that. There was some mistakes that were kind of made during the publishing that kind of made us pull some back and send some back out. But thankfully, God has intervened and everything is correct.
Yes. And we have gone back and forth. I just want to just give a special shout out to Amazon for being so accommodating through this whole process, and just their customer service through the whole process. No matter how mad or upset I was, every single person I engaged with added water to the fire and not gasoline.
And we are not being paid by Amazon at all. No. We're just a consumer.
We're just a consumer.
And we're just a consumer.
And I just think that
Amazon.
Everyone always wants to use their platforms to blast people. I want to be able to use our platform to praise people. So the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. And I just want to thank them for making it a great experience and making sure that Rich Relationships, our marital code to oneness, reaches people in need all over the globe.
Right. So that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit, which is one of the chapters out of the book. And it's the title is the code that Renee and I penned, as she said in the introduction, that we're going to be talking about. And the first topic in that code that we're actually talking about is going to be trust.
Yes, which is very valuable.
You know, it's so great because one of our life scriptures that we always talk about is Proverbs 3, mm-hmm. 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him first.
And he will direct your path.
And the operative word in that whole phrase that I have always keyed in on was trust.
Trust. And trust is a really big issue in our human experience because it's the linchpin for how relationships are built.
It's the beginning, yeah.
It's the beginning. And so I think it's important that we really understand what trust is and that we learn how to, because one of the things I talk about in the book is that I trust quickly mm-hmm. and therefore I remove it quickly.
Right.
Whereas Gil trusts slower, and his trust when you have it, you've earned it.
And it's just one of those things. It doesn't mean one is right and one
is
wrong.
No, it's just
wrong.
Your personality.
It just means
it's your temperament.
It's how you're wired.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times that comes from past experience and things mm-hmm. that have happened in your own life that make you that way or lean you or make you bent that way. But that's something that is just you have to be conscious of, but not only be conscious of it, but use it to navigate the life's issues that are going to come as it relates to trust, and especially in your relationships with someone significant or even your spouse, that it has to grow.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I really, through this whole process of really just, you know, digging in, and we always talk about taking a long journey inward, one of the things the Lord really showed me about, you know, our temperaments and how we're different men and women, and not just with the sexes, just our temperaments are different. And one of the things that I really think that makes, I think that most men are not as quick to trust as women are. And I think that it could be because in the beginning, and this is something I was just reading and studying and the Lord showed me, was that basically Adam was by himself.
Yeah, he was just working, man. He was just doing his job.
He was just working.
He was just doing what the Lord had given him to do.
He knew what it was like to not have anyone with him.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with women, when we came, Adam was there.
He was already doing.
He was already working. And so I think that for us, I think that we are probably more relational because mm-hmm. that's always been one of the things you're always like, you're always about relationships and relationships are so important. And I really understand that maybe the reason why men and women are so different is because men and women are so different.
Wow, that's revolutionary thinking.
But and our experiences are different.
It is.
Men have experienced a time where there was no woman, but we have not. And so take that into consideration when you're in relationship with the opposite sex. Don't expect for men to be women, and women don't expect for men to be like men don't expect for women to be men, and women don't expect for men to be women because we're different. Our temperaments and our experiences are different. And so let's talk about trust.
And I like the way what you wrote in the book where you kind of paralleled it with getting directions. And I think you wrote this part where you ever been on a trip and you ask someone for directions. That may be, guys can relate to this one because
men don't like to ask for directions.
Not only do we not like to ask for directions, but then when you get them, sometimes we don't even follow them.
And you know, it's so funny you would say that because I think about when we're in the car and we're using a navigation system and it's talking and it's telling you which way to go. And you still, and I think that intuitively, I think that goes back to men are used to being alone. So therefore, I think that internally you feel like, why do I need to listen to this voice when in my head I have the directions inside of me?
But this is the thing. Your directions could be wrong.
Hello.
But the one thing that actually kind of stuck out to me during that excerpt that you wrote in the book, and the whole point and the principle to that is, you won't follow the directions unless you really trust the source.
Yes.
That was something that I read, and we had read the book so many times before we...
Now we can actually enjoy the
book. But when you read
it... We critiqued the book.
Yeah,
I don't think we read it.
Right. But when I read that and I thought about it, and I was like, that is such a true statement. And if you parallel it to relationships, think about if you're in a relationship and if you're getting advice or input from someone, maybe not even your significant other, if you do not trust the source, more than likely you are not going to follow
the instructions.
The instructions.
And something that I think is so important, and I know, you know, we talk about our childhood of origin issues. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home, and you grew up in a home of divorce, and it can really make it hard for you to understand the difference between love and trust. Love is automatic. It's something that it's from God. It's not yours. You're right. Giving it. But trust is ours, and it has to be earned.
Yes.
And it takes me watching you and listening to you and making sure that your words and your actions line up. That's how trust is developed. So it's developed through observation, experience, and consistency.
And let's talk a little bit about that, because you one of the phrases in the book is, you, and I'm reading it directly from the book because this is so and I wanted to get it 100% correct. You can't love who you don't trust.
Yes.
If you just ponder that for a second, if you're having difficulty in any area of trust with someone, you know, it's not that they have maybe done things in the past, and you just mentioned it just now. It's going to cause you to start second guessing and thinking mm-hmm. twice about certain things and certain aspects, and even being in love with that person, you know, and that's a scary place to be for some people, to start yeah. questioning this person that I've been with, and not necessarily questioning the love, but you have to question the trust.
Yeah. And I think a part of it is understanding that it takes time.
It does.
You know, time, trust has to be built. It's not instant. It's not like a scratch-off lottery. It's something that has to be nurtured and developed and cultivated. And so when we understand that trust is something that has to grow and it takes time, I think it makes your relationships a little bit more enjoyable, because I think that we live in a society where we want everything quick and fast and overnight. And we always talk about, you can't trust someone deeply without knowing them sincerely.
And I think back to a story that we kind of tell, you told it, and I'll even let you tell it. I'll give you the beginning. I know you'll pick it right up. About a part of the trust factor in building that trust is you have to understand the history
yeah.
of the person. But not only the history, you have to understand the pattern that they have established with you. It's very, very difficult to trust someone that you really haven't spent time with. If you think about that, not from a longevity standpoint, but no, actually from a longevity
yeah,
standpoint,
yeah, you need
not,
time.
There are times
Seasons.
Where you're going to trust people because of a position or an authority, you know, like a police officer. Well, maybe that's not the best example.
Well, we were growing up, that's
to
the way
most,
it was. I pray
say,
that it goes
I
back
say to
that.
Most police officers, if they're there to help you, you do trust them
yeah.
instantly. You yes. know, you don't have a time to say, well, I don't know you well enough.
Right.
It depends on the situation, obviously. But in a relationship standpoint, the point that I'm trying to get to is, the history matters. The yeah. behavior matters. When someone shows you, or they have established a pattern and a history with you, you will tend to trust them more because it is proven.
Yeah. And one of the things I always say is that when your actions and your words are not lining up, then which one of them is lying?
Because you talk about that. And that's the point I was making. You talk about the first date.
Yeah.
What would you yeah. want to kind of elaborate
on that? Our
first
date?
Well, and like in the book, and the topic that we're talking about, if you're just joining us, is trust in relationships.
This we're
is
talking a, about the code
the
from
code
the rich
from,
relationships, our marital code to oneness.
We're talking about the first topic is trust. That's a part, the first part of the code is trust in the relationship. And Renee was going to talk about it from the book, where the trust tracker is what it's talking about, where I had to build a history with you of proving myself to be trustworthy. And you talked about the date
yeah.
About timing.
Yeah.
And
one of the things for me, I was really big. Like I said, I trusted quickly, but you lost it just as quick. Gil showed me consistently. If he said he was going to be there at 7 o'clock, Gil was there at 7 o'clock. If he said we were going to go bowling, we went bowling. It was everything that he said and he did, it lined up. And that kind of allowed me to see, okay, this is someone that I can trust because he's keeping his word to me and he's making me a priority. And that's another part of it. It's not just about being on time. It's also about making the person the priority. Are you the person's priority?
And I can say about yourself, while I may have showed you trustworthiness in my punctuality or doing and saying the things that I would say I was going to do, I would say my trust really built in you was from the consistency of you being who you are and who you say you are and doing what you say you're going to do, because it's a two-way street.
It is.
You know, you have to think about, in a relationship, you have to look at the patterns.
You do.
You can't ignore those things. If someone you're in a relationship with pattern is inconsistent, it's going to start eroding the trust.
And trust is very important in developing. We call it a tie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the code is really about the something that binds it together, because you can have all the other elements, but in order for something to last, it needs to have something to bind it together. And so that's what the code does. And that's what we were going to talk about, is the importance of what's the glue. What keeps you stuck together? What keeps you committed to the person?
And part of that, even in part two to this actual area that we're talking about when it comes to trust, is there's an element of risk involved.
Mm, yeah.
When we talk about risk, we're actually talking about there's some risk involved in you giving of your trust to someone.
And you know, it's funny you would say that, because that would probably explain why, for me, because I am more of a risk taker, why I trust easily, because I want to believe the best in people.
Right.
I want to automatically just believe that what you say is what you do. Because unfortunately, and as I've gotten older, I realize that you have to deal with people based on who they are and not who you are. I used to make the mistake, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, when I say what I mean it. But you have to watch people. You have to listen. And a lot of times, if you listen to what people don't say, it says just as much about them as what they're not saying.
Right.
If they don't give you enough information, if they're not giving you a specific, ladies, when you're engaged and you don't have a date, that could be a trust issue. Because if someone is really committed to you, then before they ask you, a date should have been a part of their plan.
At least my process. Yeah,
that a part of their plan.
But the one point that I wanted to make to what you just said was, you have to believe people as they are, not who you think they want
exactly.
to be. You know,
or who you want them to be.
Or who you want them to be, because if a trust is a factor or something that you're not 100% sure about, sometimes we can kind of see people the way we want to see them versus mm-hmm. how they really are and what they're really showing me. And thank God that we didn't go through those things, but the couples that we worked with, we've seen it over and over and over again that if something is happening in your relationship that is a point of difficulty that you may be going through, you can't ignore it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times that's why you have to trust the people you can trust. You know, the reason why God puts us in a family, he gives us community, is because those people are going to see things that you might not see. And so if you're going into a new relationship with someone, don't ignore the people who have proven themselves trustworthy, because you want to trust someone that you have just met.
Right. And that can be very hazardous, because you look at someone, you're going to be enamored. You're going to be, especially in a new relationship, you're going to be so excited to be in that relationship that you may ignore some things that you may not want to ignore, you know, in the long term.
Yeah.
And if that's one that you just mentioned, that if you are ignoring someone, history, someone, maybe family or friends or people that known you before a date, you known this person,
right,
that you're either going to marry or that you're in relationship with.
Or even in a business relationship.
A business transaction too, those applies.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, the Bible says there's safety in the counsel of many. We talk about the decision board. A part of trust is that there is a foundation that's already built, and that's what you have to build on. You have to build on what's trusted and what's proven, and not be so enamored with what you want that you ignore what you already have.
Right. And that's something that you have to be mindful of from the very beginning. We're actually talking about trust on this episode of the Rich Relationship Podcast.
And we're so happy to be back.
It is. Did you want to mention anything about the book before we kind of continue on, or give everybody a little overview?
Are we going to do our little happy thank you session?
Do it now.
Yes, let's do it.
Do it now.
It's that time. I haven't said that in a long time.
I know, it's been a while.
It's been a long time. But we want to just stop right now in the middle of this episode, and we want to thank God. We want to thank God for his faithfulness, and that when he gives you a purpose and a plan, it's bigger than you. It might be more difficult than what you could imagine you could accomplish, but it's going to produce something good. And so I just want to thank everyone, all of the 17 co-authors.
Amazing
authors. And Bishop Dudley for writing the foreword, and just all the people who have been such an important part of this whole process. We could not have done this without each of you. And we're grateful. And I want to thank you, Gil, for releasing me to all the sleepless nights that I have endured, and not being difficult or demanding and not being unflexible, but being willing to understand that what God has called us to do is bigger than just us.
Right, because if you really want to make a difference and an impact in someone else's life, it's going to require you to give up some things.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's going to be time with someone that you really, really enjoy being with. Sometimes it's going to be sleep.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's going to be resources.
Sometimes it's going to be peace of mind.
It's going to be a lot of different things.
It's going to be a lot of things.
But it's well worth it if it's going to benefit someone else out there in the community that may not have it as good as you do, but also that want to work on their relationships. And that's what this is really all about. And that's why we do this, not because anyone is paying us, because we're not getting paid.
It's our passion.
It's something that we want to share. We believe God has really blessed us in our relationship, and that's all we want to share with everybody else. And thank you for the book, and especially the authors, man.
Yeah.
I know you just mentioned them, but the co-authors that partnered in with this project,
when you read it,
they have been patient.
Yeah.
They have been accepting. They have done long-suffering. We appreciate it. So we just want to give a shout-out to all of them, especially.
All of the amazing co-authors who are part of this project. And so those of you who have been a part of our community and have listened for a long time, if you want to support us and you want to be a part of helping us to help couples, please go to our website. We actually have Patreon on our site now. So if you guys want to be a financial blessing, you guys are more than welcome. We're not demanding it or requesting it, but if you want to, you're welcome to. And we also want to just let you know that we are here not just to be a book or a podcast or just an app. We're here to be a community for you.
Because you can call us and we will answer.
Yes, you can. You can call us. And we love you, and we just want to say thank you.
Gil and Renee Beaver's over 30-year relationship is the genesis for the Rich Relationship Podcast, which is designed to empower individuals with the tools, principles, and the community needed to unpack ourselves, our past, and our preconceived notions associated with relationships.
Let's get empty and grow together so that our lives will be filled with love and healthy, rich relationships. Now let's go into our show.
So we are actually talking about trust in relationships, and that's the first part of the code in the book that we just released, the Rich Relationship, Our Marital Code to Oneness book with 17 other amazing authors. And that's what we're talking about over the next few weeks. So we just want to be sharing some of the information with everyone.
The tools and the
tools,
skills.
Absolutely. And so now we're actually going to talk about the part of it that unfortunately happens in relationships, broken trust. Yeah.
But before we talk about broken trust, I want to talk about something that's just kind of resonating in my heart. How could you think of the word trust without including the word truth?
Mm.
One of the things we have to look for is the truth in our relationships, not the fantasy, not the thing we have painted in our mind, but the truth. And the truth is in their behavior and in their conduct and in their reputation. You know, so those are the things you want to think about. So we want to make sure that your trust is partnered with truth, and that can be something that can help you, because we need to make sure that our trust is based on things that can last.
And it's so funny that you say that, because this morning during my devotional time, that was just after I prayed and everything, that was just something that came to my heart and my mind, that the word is own your truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is what, and I just kept meditating on that, own your truth. Because if you have, whether it's good or bad, it's yours.
Yeah.
And if you don't own it, no one can trust you. Yeah.
And there's a difference between your truth and the truth.
Hmm.
And you want to make sure that you line your truth with the truth, which is God's word. Because the Bible says you will know the truth and it'll set you free. So when you partner trust with truth, it's going to bring good things into your life. It's going to make your life better than it could have been if you were not in that relationship.
And it's weird to say this, but when trust is broken, that can be a very valuable lesson.
Yeah.
It can be a valuable lesson because it will make you start thinking about, what did I miss?
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
It should.
It should. Yeah. And the reason why I say that is because we tend to want to look outward when we miss something, especially when it comes to relationships.
Pull out the blame thrower, y'all.
Well, yeah, that. But also we tend to look at others before we look at ourselves and saying either you were hurt or that person did this to you or that to you or they neglected this particular thing. But we have to own our own truth in that.
Yeah. And take responsibility for our part in things.
Right. Not saying that your responsibility is the reason for the broken trust, but in any relationship that you are in, 9 times out of 10, you have a part in it, in the good and the bad.
Exactly. Like one of the things Andy always says, if you have a slice, you have to be nice. Even if your slice of the pie is small, you have to look at it. Because at the end of the day, you can't change anyone. Romans 12 says, present yourself to God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable act of service. You can't put someone else on the altar of God. Only you can put yourself there. So we need to make sure that when situations come up, our first response is to forgive ourselves and the other person, but also to find out what are the things that I missed and what are the areas where I've fallen that has caused this pattern to be a part of my life. Because it's one thing, trust is going to be broken. It's a part of relationships.
Yeah, and you're going to get hurt.
It's going to
happen. And,
yes.
And maybe hopefully not to the magnitude where it destroys the relationship.
Right.
But it's going to erode some of the trust that you have with this person.
But the good thing about trust is that it's something that can be rebuilt.
Absolutely. And you beat me to the punch.
It can be rebuilt.
You know,
if you're willing to do the heavy lifting, the self-examination, and to be honest about the facts. One of the things I learned from Claudette is that in relationships, I'm going to hurt you and you're going to hurt me. But what do we do after that?
Right. There's going to be disappointment.
Yes.
You know, people don't like to be disappointed in anything, especially in someone that they have put a lot of trust in for whatever reason. Maybe it has eroded or been broken or whatever that situation may have happened. But you have to remember, And I learned this from a pastor friend of mine, and it has resonated and stuck with me forever. And I remember it to this day. Scott Holmes, I appreciate you.
We love you, Scott.
He told me, I was sharing with him something that had happened, and he said, preservation of the relationship
is the most important thing.
And that's the relationship.
Yeah.
Preservation of the relationship. It may not be what it was, and
right.
It may not be as close as
it is. And it could be better.
It could be better. But you have to always keep that in the forefront of your mind, especially when you think about your spouse or someone you're in really serious relationship with, because there are going to be things that happen.
Yes.
But you have to remember that you are a team.
Yes.
You got into this relationship. You mutually agreed upon the relationship because you seen something there at the very beginning that you were excited about.
And the key of the relationship is to develop oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you develop oneness is by, first of all, knowing who God is, who you are, and then getting to know the other person. Because you can't really accept what you don't know. And so a part of that rebuilding trust when it's broken is understanding that it's a journey and
right.
that it takes time.
And the ultimate key to actually in rebuilding that trust is, and you mentioned it already at the very beginning of this, is forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
You have to be willing to seek it. But also sometimes you're going to be on the end where, when I say seek, I mean you have been the culprit. You have been the main catalyst for the broken trust or the problem.
Right.
But you also have to be on. And then there's the other side of that, which I was getting to, was the
Granting
forgiveness.
Yes.
And that's the, I would say granting forgiveness is more difficult than the seeking part, because
I don't know. I think it depends on the person.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree totally, but if I had to pick, and maybe that's part of the personality thing.
Yeah.
You know, but I think when you grant forgiveness.
I think that when people are more prideful, they struggle with
seeking.
Mm. And I think that when you're more, when you have lower self-esteem.
Or you hold grudges.
You have a harder time with granting.
Granting. Yeah, and those are things that we're going to be talking about at another episode.
Yes.
But we just wanted to actually share with you guys, just, I know we have been off for a little while, for a couple weeks we talked about.
But we had to get our mind right, y'all, because we don't want to come from a place of not being genuine and transparent. And the book has been, to be truthful, has been a struggle. It has been a challenge. But I understand that to much is given, much is required, and nothing good comes fast or easy. And so we are grateful to offer you the sacrifice of the rich relationships, our marital code to oneness, with an assurance that it's going to be a blessing.
Because then we're actually, and maybe we didn't say this at the beginning, but that this is a physical book. We already released the ebook.
Yes.
But you can actually get the physical book. Just go through our website and check it out, and all the links and everything are there.
Or you can just go to Amazon and get it.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Yeah,
and that's why I was just pointing them to the website.
Yeah.
That they can actually go and get everything and find out what we're doing and where we're going and
all those things. Next steps. And for those of you who are interested in helping couples, we are also facilitators for Preparing the Rich, and we will be having a session to train facilitators
at the end of the month.
So we'd love to be a part of your journey and helping you to help other couples, because again, we're just two people, and so we want to build a team of other people who can help people who are in need.
So we're actually gave you the first part of the code out of the book, talking about trust.
The first part of the tie, which is
trust.
And next week we're going to be talking about identity, but we ain't going to tell you nothing about it. You got to come back next week. And the reason why we call it tie is because it's an acronym for the three parts of the code, which is trust, identity, and empathy.
So next week we're going to be talking about
identity. The I in the tie.
So come back and hang out with us, and we will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for your investment in time. Remember to subscribe to the show and hit the notification icon to be notified when new episodes are posted on the podcast platform that you're listening from.
Or you can always find us on our website at richrelationshipsus.com or our YouTube channel, Rich Relationships with Phil Renee. If you found this podcast helpful, or you think it could help someone that you know and care about, please pass it along and share it with them.
And also, you can always send your questions and comments to richrelationships.us@gmail.com. This is a weekly podcast, and the new episodes are going to be posted on Monday by 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Remember, we're stronger together.
Let's grow.